Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners around the world who tune into Radio 4. But most importantly, it is a pleasure to welcome the four exciting, talented, provocative players of this game who've come together to show their wit and their humour and their verbal ingenuity and even dexterity as they try and speak on a subject that I will give them, and do that without hesitation, repetition or deviation. And those four people are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Jenny Eclair and Giles Brandreth. Please welcome all four of them. Seated beside me is Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Kenton Theatre in lovely Henley-on-Thames in that delightful county of Oxfordshire. As you can realise, we have an audience who are loyal and devoted to their county. And they've come to cheer us on our way and longing for us to start. So we'll begin with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject we've got here, very apt for Just a Minute, bluffing. Talk on that subject in this game, if you can, starting now.
The message came asking me to call on Her Majesty at Buckingham Palace. And when I arrived, Her Majesty, she, the Queen, said...
Giles challenge.
I want to hear more, but I think I heard Her Majesty twice.
I'm afraid Her Majesty did come in twice. Mm. I mean, she can come in as many times as she likes. She is the Queen, but you can't repeat her in Just a Minute. So, Giles, you got in with the correct challenge. You take a point for that, of course, and you have 50 seconds to talk on bluffing starting now.
When I say that a slight inclination of the cranium is as adequate as a spasmodic movement of one optic to an equine quadruped utterly devoid of any visionary capacity, when I mean a nod's as good as a wink to a blind horse, I am, of course, bluffing. That's my way of doing it. When people ask me what my profession is and I tell them I'm a dentist, I'm also indulging in bluffing. In that case, it's actually rather useful because they then back away from me and cover their mouths so that I don't have to actually see their dentures nor smell what reeks from them, which can be uncomfortable. The art of bluffing also is involved in gardening. If you have a great sweep of sward ahead of you and you haven't got a ha-ha that you can fall into, you can... It's one word. It's one word.
No way. He spotted it. No, it's either high. I think it's hyphenated, actually. It is. And we have
our literary expert.
We have a literary expert in the audience who has confirmed it. So very well listened, Clement. Yes, repetition of ha. 12 seconds for you on bluffing, starting now.
Gladstone was called at the age of 82. To
Paul,
did we not have called before? Call to the palace.
Yes, you were called to the called palace. The first time you were.
And also, if I may say so, 82 is a hyphenated word.
Paul, you have the subject. You have 8 seconds on bluffing, starting now.
I remember the biggest bluff I ever played. It was the massive tournament in Las Vegas. Poker was being played on the cards.
Giles, you were challenged first.
Played.
Yes, played twice.
Absolutely.
And you've got in, Giles, with 2 seconds to go. Oh. Bluffing with you, Giles, and another point. 2 seconds starting now.
As you sit at the Monopoly board, I find...
So, at the end of that round, the person who's spoken most, including speaking when the whistle went, he gets an extra point for that, is Giles Brandreth, so he's in a strong lead at the end of the round. And, Giles, we'd like you to take the next round. I don't know whether this is a subject that's going to bring out the feminine side of your nature, but I've got in front of me how to iron a shirt. Could you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Apparently, some housewives enjoy doing their work in the nude. I think when it comes to ironing, this is a risky proposition. My belief is that one should actually iron a shirt by being very rich and having someone else to do it for you, or by joining the army, where you will be taught how to iron a shirt by a hairy sergeant major who will bark at you as you attempt to erect your ironing board. My favourite episode of Billy Bunter was the one where he was taught to iron a shirt by Mr. Quelch. Oh, crikey, he went, as he burnt himself. His little dainty fingers were actually caught on the enormously hot iron.
Clement Charles.
He has said actually before.
Yes, he would have said actually before.
Okay.
Clement, correct challenge. 17 seconds available. How to iron a shirt, starting now.
I understand you start at the top and worked right down to the end of the sleeve, being careful to miss the cuffs, otherwise they might burst into flames, especially...
A poor challenge.
Deviation. I mean, I've not ironed many shirts, but...
Obviously.
But the cuffs don't burst into flames.
No. I don't think they burst into flames.
They might do if they're made out of gelignite, but they presumably they're not.
But you didn't establish that you have an overheated iron which would burst into flames. No, I don't think it's possible. So I give the benefit of the doubt to Paul. They wouldn't burst into flames. So you have a point, Paul, and the subject. 5 seconds.
You'll be sorry.
Please, it's not worth breaking up a beautiful friendship just over this show.
I know it isn't really, but no. I've got to be fair within the rules of just a minute. And so, Paul, it's you to speak on how to iron a shirt 5 seconds ago, starting now.
I once attended a conference at the Royal Albert Hall where Billy Graham stood up and said, I will show you how to...
So Paul Merton was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now in second place behind Giles Brandreth, then Clement Floyd and Jenny. And Jenny, it's your turn to talk. In fact, I think it's your first... No, we have you heard from you already, but now talk...
I'm going to take my hand off the buzzer. That's a good start,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah.
No, it is.
Don't challenge yourself.
No, I'll try not to.
My favourite spot... I suppose you can take that any way you like, but talk on the subject, Jenny. 60 seconds, starting now.
I'm sitting on it. It's called a G-spot, but considering this is Radio 4 and I think it might be on the verge of falling out, I think I shall move on. My favourite spot is a silver bean bag in front of the television where I like to place my buttocks in my pyjamas with a lovely fork dinner, like a shepherd's pie, watching the telly, something mind-numbing like Big Brother, so I can be superior and make sneery comments. Ha, look at the idiots. I'm so comfy on this piece of furniture. Sometimes I drag it out onto the patio. Oh, how lucky I am to have a favourite spot in my own house. Other people have to go to Niagara Falls and places.
Clement, challenge.
Deviation. Surely her patio is outside her own house.
Yes, what about it?
She said in my own house.
Well, it's got folding doors and it shares the same floor. Because I've got a polished concrete floor that goes... Honestly,
I think if it's that important, she ought to keep it.
I think what I'll do is to give her the benefit of the doubt, and if I can redress the balance in your favour sometime, Clement, I will, and ask her to carry on with 25 seconds to go on my favourite spot, starting now.
I haven't got any other favourite spots.
So, Clement, what have you got in this time?
Deviation.
Deviation, hesitation, whatever you like. And you have my favourite spot, 23 seconds, starting now.
I suppose my favourite spot is on the Suffolk coast. Go down from Norfolk, Great Yarmouth, Lowestoft, Southwold, Walberswick, Dunwich, Wesselton, Alderborough, all the way to Clacton, and my favourite spot is the village of Walberswick at the end of the River Blythe, where I have a house and a wife and 4 children.
So, Clement Floyd speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point, and he got the emotion of the audience with him of a huge applause. And you're 1 point behind Giles Brandreth, who's still in the lead, and 1 ahead of Paul Merton. And, Paul, your turn to begin. Sudoku. Very popular at the moment. I don't know if you've ever played it, but try and talk on the subject starting now.
I haven't played the game, actually, but I understand it's become a bit of a craze in the last 3 or 4 months. You see various people trying to fit the numbers between 1 and 9 into various grids. I don't really understand the appeal of it other than that. Crosswords seem to be so much better, but I will talk about Sudoku with a knowledgeable look in my eye, and perhaps I'll be able to bluff Nicholas into thinking that I'm knowing what I'm talking about. Sudoku was invented in 1927 by a man called Alf Roberts. He used to be the mayor in Coronation Street, but then he got fed up with that, and he ended up inventing this game that was very big in Japan. The best way to play it, the most biggest game he's ever bought, it was 2 elephants and a huge giant tumbler. You have to throw the dice, first of all, to get a 6, and the first one up the ladder gets the chance to go on the snakes. Once you've done that, you realise, of course, the king cannot be in check once the queen's bishop is outside of the croquet hoop, and it's through pushing the ball through that hoop that you can make the bell ring, and tilt comes up, and you know you've won the big prize. Sudoku started off, first of all, as a beach ball carved in the shape of an onion in Tokyo in 1963. It's been a car, a motorbike, an opera singer, and also a plate of beans.
Paul went magnificently on the subject with some generous... understanding from the panel, but it was so magnificent. And Jenny, you buzzed then with 1 second to go.
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is to say, Paul, we loved it so much. We give you the point as if you were speaking when the whistle went. So you get a bonus point for doing that.
Thank you very
Jenny
much.
Would get a point for coming in just before the whistle, and she's got 1 second to tell
us. What's Jenny's challenge?
It was repetition of hoop. You said hoop twice.
You did have a more than one hoop, actually.
Did I?
You
yes.
hooped up.
You probably
not
had
like
half
me.
A dozen. You probably got remember what you said. Jenny, Sudoku with you, 1 second, starting
Cara
now.
Cara Vorderman is a great big fan.
So, the end of that round is all very even. Giles, 1 point ahead of Clement and Paul, and 2 ahead of Jenny. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject now is the most enigmatic person I know. You have 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
I'm rather torn between Sven-Goran Eriksson, the England football manager, and my grandson, Charlie Freud Curtis, who is 3, and said to his father, I would like to make bedtime history.
Poor Charles.
It was sadly hesitation.
It was sadly hesitation.
No, it's all I have to say.
And Paul... Yeah. You have the subject.
Yes,
it
do.
Is the most enigmatic person I know, and there are 45 seconds starting now.
Undoubtedly the most enigmatic person I know is Nicholas Parsons. During the war, he was working under the name of Pandora Wilkins. Unfortunately for the Nazis, he was a good friend of Lord Hoare, but you know how the rest of it went. I've often thought perhaps the most enigmatic person I've ever met, now I come to think of it, is none other than Clement Freud. What a man of great achievement. He has been, amongst many years, a gourmet, a nightclub...
Clement Challenge.
Repetitive in many.
Yes. Yeah. It's a pity, because he was about to pay you some lovely compliments.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But Clement, correct challenge. 23 seconds on the most enigmatic person I know starting now. The most enigmatic person I know is... Paul, you challenge.
Yeah, only because Clement's pressed my button. I want to make it clear there, what I mean is Clement pressed my button. That's all I mean. This one here, the one that goes...
That's
one.
Right. That's what and the audience saw it, so they're in the know. Yep. Now we've explained that to the listeners, they're in the know. And what is your challenge?
My challenge?
Yes.
Hesitation.
Hesitation is correct, yes. And a sporting gesture on the part of Clement. And don't return it, otherwise we'll get chaos. Yeah, it'll all get completely out of hand. Happy to orchestrate chaos, but it can go too far. 2-3 seconds, Paul, on the most enigmatic person I know starting now.
Yes, chaos can go too far indeed. When I look around this audience here, I see a third in the row there. Look, there's a gentleman there with a very enigmatic look in his...
Jazz challenge.
Repetition of there.
Mm. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
There.
Ooh.
Ooh, yes. Well,
sad
listen, Giles.
Obviously, the rules can be changed.
There are 14 seconds for you, Giles, on the most enigmatic person I know starting now.
I once travelled in a lift with Michael Jackson, who did not say a word. His mind has explained to me that he is always silent on a Monday. When the lady sitting next to Calvin Coolidge said to him, I imagine I can get 3 words out of him, he said, now you'll lose.
So Giles, with points in the round, including one for speaking as a whistle went, has moved forward. He's only 1 ahead of Paul Merton, who's only 1 ahead of Clement Freud, and he's 3 ahead of Jenny Eclair. And Giles, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the regatta. The regatta, Giles, with you, starting now.
People of sophistication know that the only regatta in the world that counts is indeed the Henley Regatta, founded, I believe, in 1839 and given royal approval in 1851 when Prince Albert came.
Jenny Chan.
Repetition of 18.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
No, it's one word.
No, it isn't.
1859 is a date.
Yes, it's 1859. If you write it, you put down 18 and you put 59.
Mm. You don't do it all in one, Giles.
You don't do it all in one. If it's in numerals, it's all one, but you don't... We are playing...
And so
you can't speak numerals.
All right, I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. I'm obviously going to wait a little later till I do that, but you know what I mean.
She's legitimately won it by listening
yeah,
well.
Yeah, you're right.
The regatta's with you, Jenny. 49 seconds starting now.
How odd. I've never been invited. You have to be very careful as a woman because your skirt...
Paul Challenge.
I don't think that's particularly odd. Start booing Jenny. You haven't invited her. Now you're booing her.
I would normally give you a bonus point for a good laugh there, but I think in this
circumstance...
I think you upset Jenny a little, so we'll give Jenny the bonus point instead. And... and tell her that she has 46 seconds, the regatta, starting now.
You have to be very careful if you're a woman, because your skirt's got to be on your knee. If it's above, they say, you must not come into the equation.
Paul Challenge.
Should it be around your waist? On your knee? It's a bit forward, isn't it?
I think...
Sorry, Jenny, was that funny, or was that all right?
It was funny, Paul.
It was very funny. It was apt, it was true. I mean, most people do wear their skirts around their waist. I don't know what Jenny does, but... Paul, a correct challenge this time. The regatta's with you, and there are 41 seconds starting now.
Every year you can see Boris Johnson floating on his back. It's a wonderful sight. Full of beer, coming all the way from the Houses of Parliament, floats all the way down the Thames until he gets to Henley.
Clement Challenge.
Two ways. Two all the way.
All the way. Yes, there were two ways.
Somebody's out there says it was three.
32 seconds for the regatta with you, Clement, starting now.
On the 11th of July, MCLX1, I went to the Henley Regatta and it was fantastic. Too late, they said. Finished yesterday. I went back to London.
Giles,
a petition of Wentz.
Yes. Two Wentz, Clement. Yep. Mm. And Giles, you have the regatta back with you. 17 seconds starting now.
The Princess Royal loves coming to the regatta because she fancies the oarsmen something rotten. She has the hots for them. She stands at the side looking rather regal in the presence of the Mayor of Henley, and she sees these gorgeous creatures.
Paul Challenge.
There was a lot of she's.
Yeah.
There were a lot of she's. Mm.
Is she the cat's mother?
I mean, we let one or two go, but three or four, no. Right, Paul, another point to you. 5 seconds, the regatta starting now.
With a straw boater in my hand and a striped blazer, I walk towards the Thames and I say, throw me!
Right, at the end of that round, Paul Merton has taken the lead, one ahead of Giles Brandreth and two or three ahead of Clement Freud and Jenny Clough. And I should point out to our listeners, because our audience here can see it, that in honour of the occasion, I put on my Henley blazer. And nobody has sent me up for it, but it's a nice stripy blazer. But
I thought it was a barcode. You take that to the supermarket, you get a tin of beans.
It does look a little bit like that, I do admit it, but it's nice and cool for a hot day. And Clement's got something to say.
Is it true that you kiss the cocks of the winning prove?
I don't think you should bring your private life into this.
Who are you asking that question of?
Nicholas.
Oh, Nicholas, all right. Yeah. Do you have your skirt on your knee?
I'm still enjoying the joke, actually. I'm a bit bit caught up. Right, where are we? I think we're carrying on with the show. Right, Jenny, your turn to begin. The subject is making a claim, starting now.
The only claim I've ever made was for a silver golf, which was snatched from me at knife point. Fortunately, since then, touch wood. Oh, Nicholas, I can't reach your head. What a shame. I haven't had to do that making claim thing. Lots of people pretend they've lost things they haven't, like fur coats.
Giles Challenge.
Hesitation, but previously there was deviation of quite bizarre kind.
Quite worrying. Quite worrying.
I was going to touch Nicholas's head.
Oh, I see.
It was a poor joke.
It looked more psychotic than that.
I was quite worried.
Which is your challenge, Giles?
Hesitation.
No, she didn't hesitate.
Oh, well.
So you can't have it. No, you can't have a second challenge.
Was the deviation as well.
I did psychosis.
No, you can't. No, can't have a subsequent challenge.
I thought
challenge.
I had hesitation.
Otherwise, you could go through everything and eventually find something, can't you?
No.
Right. So, Jenny, the first challenge was incorrect, so you keep the subject. 45 seconds making a claim starting now.
Love those adverts on the telly, the ones that say, have you had an accident at work? Take Sheila Robinson. She fell over on some yoghurt in the supermarket where she works. We gave her £25,000. For her embarrassment, because she showed the tops of her legs and ripped knee cartilage. Then they show you a photo of a smiling lady, and you think, oh, wish I could trip over some spilt dairy product and claim a fat wad.
Oh, right, Judge.
There was hesitation this time.
I think there was this time, yes. I know you were enjoying it, But there are rules in just a minute, and I do have to abide by them, and Giles, that is a correct challenge. So you have 20 seconds on making a claim starting now.
When I made my claim to be a Shakespearean actor, I failed, because I essayed the role of the moody Dane, and the audience threw eggs at me. I went on as Hamlet and came off as Omelette. It was a humiliating experience. I've never made any claims against insurance because I don't possess anything and don't really believe that one should be asking money for things that have been lost or broken, usually due to one's own negligence.
It's a wicked game. You make a joke within just a minute and you have to speak through it, which Giles did magnificently. Kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point. He's now one ahead of Paul Merton in that situation. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject now is Great Escapes. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
If we think back to the football match, the European Cup final played earlier this year, when Liverpool were 3-0 down at half-time to AC Milan, what a great escape it was that they were able to score another slightly less than four, but between two goals themselves, and take it to extra time, where eventually they won on penalties. When we hear of the great escape, we think inevitably of the film starring Steve McQueen, who on his motorbike jumps over the barbed wire at the end, only to be caught up in that tangled metal as a German stand next to him. It's also, the bloke I feel sorry for is a bloke who gets on the...
You were going so well.
Yeah, was, wasn't I?
But you were getting faster and faster.
Yeah, that's a bit of a mistake, though, isn't it?
That's a bit of a mistake, yes. But, Jenny, you challenged first.
He said bloke twice.
Yes, he'd say bloke. 28 seconds, Jenny. Great escapes starting now.
I had a great escape.
Paul challenged.
Can I just wish Jenny good luck?
Thank you, Paul.
Right, Jenny, you've been wished good luck and you've lost another second, which is useful. 27 seconds, great escape starting now.
In Miss Selfridge the other day, I got trapped in a changing room in a tiny size 10 dress. I had to bite my way out of it. What a great escape that was. Other great escapes.
Giles, challenge.
I felt there was hesitation.
No, there wasn't. No, no.
I'm just too close to her mouth. That's the problem.
Giles can just hear me breathing. That's
yes,
what I was
doing.
Yes,
you're sitting on the same side of the stage. But no, I gave the benefit of the doubt to you last time.
I'm
the benefit goes to
happy.
Jenny on this occasion.
I'm very, very.
And she's making herself comfortable now. And there are 15 seconds, Jenny. Great escapes starting now.
Houdini was meant to be really good at escapology. This is the sort of thing where you get knotted up in ropes and.
There was hesitation there. Giles, the great, great escapes. 8 seconds starting now.
The lawyer who couldn't tell the difference between arson and incest and set fire to his sister was somebody who had a great escape when he arrived at court and found that the judge was dyslexic.
We're moving into the final round, so I give you the situation as we do so. Clement Freud is just in fourth place. He's 2 points behind Jenny Eclair, who's in a strong third position. Only 1 point behind Paul Merton, but 3 points ahead in the lead is Giles Brandreth. And Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject is bachelors. Tell us something about bachelors in this game, starting now.
The bachelors are a singing group. A company that cans not terribly good peas, and young men who, or people of any kind, who are unmarried. Now,
Jenny, challenge.
I think actually it's deviation because it is men, because he said it, men or people of any kind, but it is men that are bachelors, because lady bachelors are called spinsters.
Yes, I know that.
I know that, because I am.
But I don't think he was conveying that women could be bachelors. I don't think
he said
was...
bachelors
bachelor
are...
Bachelor women.
No, I don't think he's... No.
Well, they can be bachelors of arts, you see, as well.
Oh, I'm sorry, I take it back, I apologise.
Yes, he did make it quite clear he was talking about the male sex.
I'd like a lot of points to catch
up. You will get one for an incorrect challenge, Clement. And 46 seconds, bachelors starting now.
I have several bachelor grandchildren, none of whom are wed or married.
Paul challenged.
I didn't.
I challenged. I marry one of his grandsons? Because they're very well connected and will probably inherit well.
Yeah. Have you a challenge?
No, I'd just like to make that offer known.
Oh, what a pity, because you did hesitate. And you...
Oh, he hesitated.
No,
as
too
well.
Late now, my darling. You've given me another challenge. So Clement,
you could put a card in a newsagent's window near where some of Clement's children live.
I'll do that. Yes.
38 seconds still available. Bachelors with you, Clement, starting now.
Marrying children beneath the age of consent is actually something which no one should even entertain.
Paul Charles.
Hesitation.
That was definite hesitation, yes. So, Paul, you have the subject. You have 30 seconds. Bachelors starting now.
The Bachelors singing group were very popular. They had a hit in 1963 with Diane, which was a huge, massive song for them at the time. And they were rivaling the Beatles when it came to various chart-topping records. They split up, unfortunately. Two of them were brothers and one was a cousin. And the other one that wasn't related to the other...
Charles Challenger.
The other one. The other one. One.
The other one, the other one. Yes.
Really?
Mm. There were too many ones.
Was there?
Yes, was there, yes.
So, I'm a fool to myself, aren't I?
Jars, you've got 13 seconds, Bachelor, starting now. Yes, and Paul, you challenged.
Deviation, because it was Jenny that made the challenge. And you gave the point, to Jars.
No, I made the challenge, but Jenny spoke on my behalf, because I felt it was time we heard from her.
Yes.
Actually, Jars, I like it. So that was hesitation, was it, Paul?
Yes.
Right. So you've got the subject back again, haven't you?
What? Yeah. No. There was a little confusion, only because you seem to accept the challenge from Jenny, even though I had pressed the buzzer first.
Actually, Jenny,
I think it's a problem, us doing this programme in the dark. I think they should switch on the lights. I know they've...
No, don't put on the lights, because we're doing it in the nude.
Jenny's light came on first.
Yeah, she's like
so
that.
So she did eliminate your light.
Jenny's light always comes on first.
So she lights up. So, Paul, you have 12 seconds on battery. Bachelor starting now.
My bachelor days weren't particularly happy. I think of myself living in bedsits in the 1980s on my own, eating...
Clement Challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
You can only live in one bedsit.
No, you can...
No, I've moved from one bedsit to the other.
You didn't say,
there's more than
that.
One bedsit in London. I know, there's at least two, because I've been in them.
And Bachelor's starting now.
White bread that I bought from the supermarket and used to spread the most ghastly fish paste all over it.
I will now give you the final score, which is extraordinarily close. Only just in fourth place with Jenny Eclair. Just ahead was Clement Freud. But then just ahead again was Charles Brandreth. And only 1 point ahead again was Paul Merton. So it only remains for me to say... Thank you to these four delightful players of the game and enthusiastic and eager players of the game, which is Paul Merton, Jenny Eclair, Giles Brandreth and Clement Freud. I thank Janet Staplehurst, who's helped me with the score she'd blown her whistle with. Great elegance. And we thank our producer, Claire Jones. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this lovely game. And we are grateful to this lovely audience here at the Kenton Theatre in Henley-on-Thames. Who've cheered us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and the panel, goodbye. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute.
And next week, Just a Minute comes from the Edinburgh Festival, where Nicholas Parsons will be joined by Clement Freud, Paul Merton, Owen O'Neill, and Bill Bailey.